Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Starting the show with Iowa football. Almost always not good. That'd be today. Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. On a Tuesday in February. Which means it really isn't good. I said almost always not good when we start the show talking Iowa football. Certainly in February because there's no games. There's a chance. Do you realize there's a chance that if we're talking Iowa football during like November, then we're talking a surprise. Either the coach got finally fired, and I don't think that'll happen. More about that. But either the coach got fired or they're like 9-0 and knocking on the door, and we're like, hey, wait a minute. Do we take Iowa seriously? Hey, how good are they? So at least then there's like a chance. Talking Iowa football in February, certainly start the show. That's not good. And as I said, that'd be today. If you have not seen, well, let me get, I was, you know, I have, if you have not seen, I'm going to go through all the facts. Let me skip down to the bottom. So Kirk Ferentz somehow embarrassed himself even worse. And the Iowa AD's performance, holy smokes. Okay, I'm going to now fill in the gaps. If you didn't see a few days ago, Iowa head coach Kirk Ferentz, via the Iowa athletic director Gary Barta, included in there, because Gary Barta ultimately is the boss there, and he has to be. More about that in a minute. Kirk Ferentz announced he was not making any changes to the coaching staff. He said this was, oh gosh, might have been Friday. And he said, I'm not making any changes, but that was as far as firing folks. Could be reassignments, could be change of duties, could be salary cuts or whatever. Said more to come, all right? Well, about 4 days after that, Iowa announced the contract amendment for returning OC Brian Ferentz with the coach's son. It's laughable. I'll skip some of the details here. It's basically he got a $50,000 a year pay cut. And if Iowa, but he has incentives and he has benchmarks that he must meet. That benchmark, first and foremost, points per game, would put Iowa 85th out of 131 teams if the numbers from this past year were used. The team needs to score at least 25 points per game and win a minimum of 7 games for the coach's son to hit his goals. That's not supposed to be a goal at Iowa. And now that the details of the head coach's son returning as OC, now that, because Iowa's public, they got to show what's what. This is almost, I say one of the worst things you can do is when you seriously are presenting some information and you nod and you have a square jaw and you're like, and so this is what we've decided. But the translation is, hi, I think all of you are stupid. That's what this was. And when I say Gary Barta, and ultimately he has to be in charge, there are nepotism laws with state employees in Iowa. And that applies to the university. And so the athletic director is actually all of their bosses. Now, there's a flow chart of responsibilities, but Kirk Ferentz, head coach, father of Brian Ferentz, OC, he's not actually his boss. The athletic director is the boss of all of them, and so the head coach can say, hey, I didn't hire him. I'm not in charge. That's not made up. So, this is probably the worst public performance I've seen from an AD since Gene Smith said he hoped Jim Tressel didn't fire him. That was back, I think, maybe 11 or so, spring of 11. And Tressel had stink all over him, and so there was a press conference, and somebody in the media asked the AD, is there any chance you'll fire Jim Tressel over this? I could go back and look, but I don't think I need to. I think this was the incident where eventually, like, I don't know, like a month or 2 months after something, like Tressel just quit. And then 11 was the season with Luke Fickell as the yes, isn't that it? David. Yes, that's what happened. And so, I don't know whether it was a month or a week or whatever, there's this press conference and Jim Tressel's going, hey, Gene, will you fire him? Oh, I'm just kind of hoping he doesn't fire me. Oh, boy, that fell flat. The Iowa athletic director. Because whether it's a formality, whatever, he signed his name to it, man. And it's just flat out embarrassing. So that's what's going on. It was just a few days ago. He said, we finished 117th out of 131 in points, and like they finished last in a couple of yards efficiency. What the offense was historically horrible, but he's bringing back his son as the OC. So there you go. They're now back to football that we normally care, and like it can be good to talk about in February, like Auburn. There is a surprising little something missing from Hugh Freeze's so far. His influx of new players. And Hugh Freeze, properly so, gets just mad props for his portal work. And I'm talking about so far at Auburn, whether it is the secondary, well, they're good. They're full. But for the front seven or front six or whatever it is you want to play, restocking that and the offensive line. I can't tell you what to think about the receivers yet. That's kind of what this is about. It is a secondary concern as to who would be throwing to the receivers. And that's what's missing from so far what Hugh Freeze has brought into Auburn through the portal so far and the high school signees, which I think that's probably wrapped up for this year. Now, the surprising part is that the two ways you're adding players today, two ways I know, portal, high school, only one quarterback was included so far, and it's a three-star 17-year-old who was committed to Liberty and whom Freeze welcomed to sign then with Auburn. Now, for what it's worth, I'm telling you what ESPN says and out of Border Wars and Scout and whoever. Hank Brown, that quarterback, is the lowest rated high school player in the class. And to this point, there's that phrase. So far, there's that phrase. Freeze hasn't brought in a transfer QB. So you've got like 40 kids that are new to the program, gonna be. And he's properly so getting fist bump. Solid there, Hugh. Good job turning over the roster. That's in as well deserved. It's real. Both the portal and the high school and all these kids coming in. And so far, the only quarterback that's destined for Auburn is a three-star that was going to Liberty. So, again, I'm not evaluating because I've never seen the kid play. I'm telling you everybody else's evaluation. That the SEC coach who wanted him was the coach who was at Liberty when he wanted him. So, okay, that's just the facts. bringing in like 35 or 40 kids, whatever total, whatever the number is, bringing in all these kids, only one quarterback to this point. Okay, why? There are three possibles to why this point Hugh Freeze has really not brought in a viable option in any way. And the 17-year-old three-star, that he's not going to start. He's not going to play in 23. If he does, it's off the rails. So if you're talking about a few dozen players coming into the program, none of them a quarterback, there are only three possibles as to why Hugh Freeze has done this. The first is his quarterback is already on the roster, and that'd be Robbie Ashford if it's the case. The second is he will count on hitting the portal after spring practice to get a better backup who might also challenge to start. Third option, there is a kid finishing his high school junior year, rising senior, who Hugh Freeze is true loving. I mean, big. Partly with the script of, hey, it's wide open. I'm not bringing in anyone else. Now, let me dismiss that third one. The seasonal suicidal stupidity. No. You don't choose to go into any football season, especially in the SEC, with the quarterback situation so bad that it might get the attention of a high school recruit. So let me dismiss that third one. Ditto opinion on the second choice, that we head down, we will get our starter from the portal in May. The horrible percentage risk of that approach, it's happened. I mean, before there was even a portal, Nick Marshall showed up in Auburn. He practices like twice, and Gus is like, all right, he's a starter. So you don't have to, you need to be there earlier. So every case, are there exceptions? Yeah, but you kind of need to be there early. The horrible percentage risk of saying, all right, spring practice is done. By the way, the portal, do we know when that, May 1st through the 15th, the portal window opens back up. All right, I can choose my new school. May 1st through the 15th, which is going to be after all spring games are done. So, and for a lot of places, it's after the semester's done. So May 1st through 15th, what a terrible, terrible approach that is. By golly, we're going to do it because then you didn't really commit to anybody in spring. And then maybe, you know what's better? You didn't get the guy you wanted and you moved on versus you traded down and now you're kind of forced to say, this is the guy we wanted all along. And it's not, and there's a reason it's not, but now you're kind of square peg, round hole, going to force it. Your season could be buried in August practice if you don't get anyone or you get your second or third choice and feel forced to make it work. So, no. Hugh Freeze is too smart for that. So, only one choice left. 2023, it appears, Ashford is Freeze's quarterback, and he will dedicate the playbook, play calling, game plan. Hugh, are you listening? Call in. Text Dan. You can find him on Twitter. He will dedicate all of this, practice, training, pregame meal. Robbie, what makes you feel good at 7:35? Spaghetti. Spaghetti it is. Whatever you can do to help him be successful, that's going to be the priority for 2023, I believe. Now, I can't 100% agree with the idea and say it's right. I think that's what it's going to be because he's so incomplete as a pocket quarterback at that stage that if Ashford is the best choice, you really need an older backup with a good amount of experience, preferably in Power 5, who you can count on. And despite that being exactly what TJ Finley is, that's not TJ Finley. And the true freshman from last season, who I believe with any extended playing time would have made Ashford look like Joe Burrow, he was 18. And all the context and all the SEC, it's not easy. And he was one snap away. The real answer would have been Devin Leary or another stud from the portal. And there were several. And Freeze acknowledges he went after him. Freeze loving Ashford does count for a lot in my mind. I can't even guess what it's going to equal on the fall field this fall, but I really believe that's what it's going to be at this point. and we're still 3 weeks from spring practice. So I think we can fast forward to week one, week 12. This is kind of what Hugh Freeze is now hoping it is that it's Robbie Ashford and for the entire season. So, all right, we're going to take a break, continue on. We got Dave Bar 2 coming up bottom of the hour next, me and Dan and a little bit more.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
The only way I'm leaving here is for a head coaching job. But he didn't put a period on the end of the sentence. He said, or if Alabama calls. That's how that job and working for that man is thought of in the coaching industry.
Josh Pate, Late Kick Live podcast. Unnamed assistant telling him how Alabama's thought of in the coaching game. There are differing opinions. Some folks think it is a let me take this back. I believe every coach would agree. They should agree. They view the Alabama, being on the Alabama staff, on Nick Saban's Alabama staff, as, I don't want to say stepping stone, but stepping stone, and about the best one there is. Get a little Tuscaloosa in your life. It's good for your further income. It's been good for coaches who have had all manner of transgressions from just kind of being a goober like Butch. Butch, in the context of Tennessee for about 15 years, Butch kind of won. And a little bit of a goober sometimes. He was genuine. Just came off bad. Derek Dooley just flat out lost. Doesn't matter. Rehab. We know all of that. But there are also coaches who are more happy, they believe, with their current path to the same outcome than including Tuscaloosa. As in, that is a great place, but for me, it's better to stay here at UW or to be a head coach where I currently am, or, you know, I'm just not going to explore that for some coaches. So I think that if it were – the opinion of having I worked for Nick Saban on field coach, the opinion of having that on your resume is, I think, universally agreed upon. Whether it's something you want to go through to get it on your resume, okay, there's the variance. And Tommy Reese, well, he wants it on his resume. Not everybody does. Not everybody did last week. Defensive coordinator, that might have been a little different. I don't believe, I mean, I don't know this. I think Todd Grantham would want to be in the NFL versus college. Recruiting stinks, and I'm not even talking about high school kids. I'm talking about your own kids. Even the portal, that, so what? You watch some tape and you go, hey, you really fit in at this position. For, I think all that works. Recruiting your own roster, that's, no thank you. But he's not DC. Now, I don't know, because they had co-DCs in New Orleans. One of them left, and then one of them got fired, I thought. They had a good defense. But I saw he got named a defensive assistant. I didn't see he got named DC. I would think D.C. is better. D.C. at Bama is better than assistant in the NFL. But if you got Ty Grantham's money, you know what you're choosing right now? Quality of life. And as someone who just made his next set of reservations, April 19th. Dan, you may host on April 19th. I may be here on April 19th and then Delta's ready when I am. Or maybe it'll be a leisurely day and Dan will host. But I'm going to New Orleans. All right? I think it's the if Todd Grantham with his money, way different than my money, different than Dan's money. Todd Grantham with his money, if he had a choice between living in Tuscaloosa and New Orleans, New Orleans is one of my favorite places in the world. I love being in New Orleans. I know living there is different than visiting for 4 or 5 days. No, I think I could pull it off. I really do. And so if you're looking around going, I'm Todd Grantham's age, I'm going to guess 59. Yes. I've got this fat stack over here, cash. I'm not building my resume. I'm choosing jobs at this point. He may look and go, what do I need any of that for? Saints, here I come. And I'm not even the D.C., so they'll blame somebody else if we fail. Dan, how's your Tuesday?
Did I not see that coming?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It was immediately of, you know, Alabama fans. I can't believe we're going to consider him. I said, calm down. You're not considering him. This is all a play by him for the most part, at least his representation to try to get him another job. Because, again, you want to be able to have your name out there. The whole thing that you want in our business, the coaching business, pretty much any business that has a high profile of people watching what you do on a daily basis, you want people talking about you, good or bad. So he accomplished his goal and he got a job.
Yeah, here's the baller move. Like tomorrow, I say, Dan, how's your Wednesday going? And there's silence. He's like, I'm sorry, I was on the other line with Jim Rome. What were you saying, Chuck?
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's the baller move. Like Todd Grantham, oh, I'm sorry, I'm talking D.C. with Bama. More money to be an assistant, maybe. Or maybe he just wanted, like, the best etouffee and oysters you can get on planet Earth.
Well, you get good eating in Tuscaloosa, too. Archibald's shout-out. What's going on?
Well, I got no issues with that, man. I'm talking to – by the way, again, you're going to be hosting on probably the 19th, 20th, and 21st. So just go ahead and listen to that.
Oh, okay. So my tax is done, and then I get in and talk some college football. So pick me up after that. That is for sure. Real quick here before we get to Dave Bartu next. Kirby Smart's problem might not be as great as he thought it was going to be. Now, remember, immediately after they won the national title this year, Chuck, he was talking about, we got a lot of players coming back next year, so I've got to keep this group hungry. That's what I've got to be able to do. Bill Conley, ESPN.com, puts out his returning production metrics for the season. Kirby's 80th in the country. 61% of his roster is coming back next year. You know what they were last year? 59%. It's not as great as Kirby thinks.
A lot of that gets skewed, obviously, because you're missing the quarterback and even spread around receivers like Mitchell, but it's still alarming.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
It is so fun to say best in the business, and then you bring on a recruiting expert or somebody, whomever. Name, image, likeness, we've done that. When it comes to personnel movement, whether it's coaches, players, he deals with agents. I mean, my gosh, border agents, you name it. Head coaches, everybody in the game of college football, college athletics, when you're moving personnel. Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, is the place to turn. Dave, welcome. How are you today?
Dude, on the second pot of coffee already. The phones are on fire. It's the ripple effect of one guy changing schools is – I don't think everybody listening can just comprehend how it ripples apart. Actually, you got a couple of minutes? I'll tell you kind of my morning.
Oh,
just so
jump
you get a
into
feel
it.
For what happens on stuff like this.
Actually,
so,
you know what? Hang on. Tell everybody, this is CFB Matrix on Twitter. Tell everybody what it is
The Matrix Analytical. We tell stories with numbers, and we are the number one college football staffing analytics firm using data across the country. So, bang. You know,
what was your morning?
So the phone starts ringing already at 5:45 my time, right? Which is what, 7:45, 8:45, you know, your time central. Phone's ringing. But this is how these ripples work. So, for example, like Tommy Reese, right? He goes to Alabama. Now Notre Dame has an opening. So they're going to go out and look at they're going to probably contact 10 to 15 guys, maybe 20. Usually the list, depending on how aggressive.
Dave. We will get Dave. Now that is a tease. We talked about Notre Dame and 15 to 20 guys and probably the layer just below, you would imagine, where Nick Saban was trawling. But maybe not if it is an assistant. I don't think that they're going to interview head coaches or play footsie with a head coach like maybe Saban did. Dave, jump back into it. You were saying there might be 15 different guys contacted.
Right. There may be 15 different guys. And then the ones that are seriously interested, they're going to tell their director of football ops, their chief of staff, their head coach, hey, mm-hmm. I got a phone call. At least if they, depending on their ethics and how interested they're in it. And then now those guys, all of those chief of staffs are out there going, oh, we better get our list ready. And then we better get our list ready. So one guy moving is suddenly you have a dozen other programs looking for each a dozen guys just in case this comes up. And this stuff just moves at it's the speed of light sometimes. And so, yeah, it has – the phone has – I can feel my phone buzzing right now. as I'm talking to you, you know, just from one guy making a change.
Before we talk details, just in general, how much is the conversation like before you really dig into it? Okay, but tell me what you want. Like from your standpoint, if you get a call from two teams in Conference USA, same basic profile, and they both need wide receiver coaches, like they may want different things.
Well, usually the first thing is who are your guys? Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Chuck is chief of staff at wherever. Right. And you need to fill a position. And so the first question is usually, all right, who are your guys? OK. And you already have a list of five. It depends on the position. Right. I mean, if it's a OC or DC, the list is going to be ginormous. Right. If it's wide receiver coach, it's like wide receiver coach. It's usually three or four guys. I like these guys. Okay, so we do two things off of that. One is we pull all of their reports and we get back to coach and we're like, okay, let's review these guys and here's who we like best, 1 through 4, right? And guys that are pretty equal, we could say, hey, look, Chuck and Dan, these guys are pretty even. This is going to be more of a feel in terms of what you like culturally, but by the numbers are equal. But then what we'll also do is usually in that group, we can actually pick out what they're actually looking for, where a guy is from, his behaviors, you know, and the numbers they're looking at. So we can go and match other guys to their group and say, hey, this was your original group. Here's other guys that are very similar to what you are already looking for. So they may give us 3 or 4. We come back with 7 or 8. And now usually the guy that's going to get hired is from the original group. You know, every once in a while we'll find somebody that the head coach goes, oh, I really like that guy now. Didn't even think about him. I'm glad the data found him. But ultimately the data is to try to reduce hiring risk from the original group and give them options in case they can't get those guys. So, but that's where it starts, is who are your guys right now? And then we can run the analytics off of that to find guys that are similar.
All right, well, let's talk some specifics here. And first, let's start in Tuscaloosa because I'm kind of like the head coaches. Like, they had signing day approaches, and Nick Saban's like, yeah, I'll get to it. And so it's the off season and I wait till it's official. And so it's still not even official. If you go look, it's reports, say Kevin Steele. We'll get to that in a second. Tell me about Saban hiring Tommy Rees, what he has, but also tell me the process. And is this what he really wanted?
I don't know if it's what he really wanted. We've gotten to a point right now in college football, especially at the upper end, is most of the elite offensive coordinators are now head coaches. At least half of them are head coaches. The other half are locked down really good. And or they have a scheme that just doesn't fit. So really good offensive coordinator, Phil Longo, right? Awesome. All right. I mean, this guy was a 4.5, 5-star guy in the FCS. We tracked his career. You know, this guy's top 15 in college football right now. He's at Wisconsin. But he is very up-tempo, air raid kind of pass-heavy kind of guy. So while he might be elite play caller, that's not something for a Georgia if Todd Monken goes to Tampa Bay. It's not for Alabama. So the list right now is very, very, very small. There's no real home runs for anybody out there. Not that I consider any higher a home run. But there's not a lot going on. Now, so I don't know what Nick really wanted. You know, I think we heard Kendall associated with Alabama, which, okay, that's a different pace of play. I heard Lebby, and I don't believe that one at all because he's never had a top 25 offense, and his pace puts too much pressure on the defense. He's a one-pitch pitcher. So I always thought it would be somebody else that was slower, that mixed it up a little bit more pass run. Now, Tommy Rees is that. He only ran 65 plays per game last year. It was 64.9. So it was very slow and methodical. So I like that because the best Saban teams were slow and methodical. They weren't up-tempo. They weren't trying to put a bunch of yards and points on the board. It was controlled football. So I think with Rees, you get back to that. Number one. Number two, I think the big question for most Alabama fans is Tommy Rees an upgrade over Bill O'Brien? I absolutely believe it is, 100%. Rees's 3 years at Notre Dame is better adjusted for talent and schedule. I believe it is much better than Bill O'Brien's career as a play caller in college football. So Alabama the last 2 years, I did not have them on the national championship watch list because I felt Bill O'Brien just wasn't good enough. Now with Rees, I got him back on it. So the Alabama fan that's wondering, hey, are we a national title contender? I'd say you are now versus not being one the last 2 years.
And again, a word, Tommy Rees as a recruiter?
Who cares?
Okay. OCs a lot of times get a pass on that. They do. A lot of times OC get a pass on it.
Yeah, but who cares? You got the number one recruiter in college football, Nick Saban. He is the number one closer, right? That's your guy. So who cares? Tommy Rees didn't have to pick up the phone.
All right. Flip it around. Yep. Defense, Kevin Steele, when that is official, because Steele just reports, but when it's official – and I always say, I wait to hear from the person of the school, and I ain't heard that yet, but Kevin Steele and the process of how it wound up that this is going to be the guy.
Okay, so here's for everybody listening, here's your hack on it being official. Go to Kevin Steele's Twitter account, and when the background changes to Alabama, it's official. That's about it. I always, whenever a client gets a guy, I sit there holding my breath until that background changes. Because I can tell you right now, until that background changes, yep, it is not done. It is not done. Now with Kevin Steele, it's hard to say. Did we improve? I would say we got an improvement in DC, but we're kind of splitting hairs there. I think Kevin's career has, he's been all over the place. And so I think we have a better feel for how good Kevin can be. With Golding, look, you won a national title with the guy, but Alabama itself, the talent is so good at mass deficiencies. So I really don't know what we have or don't have in Pete. I think that Ole Miss upgraded their DC spot for sure. But how much? I don't know. We're going to have to answer that question at the end of the year. But at the worst, it's a wash. I think it's a veteran. From a veteran standpoint, I think it's an upgrade. But I think the big change was at OC.
All right. Before we take a break here, quick word. Todd Grantham, he's now he's been hired as a defensive assistant. It wasn't announced as DC. with the Saints. Any info on what was really on his landscape employment-wise?
No, nothing. I really have nothing there. I don't know if he was truly under consideration or not. I know there's a lot of public rumors out there. You know my rule of thumb is what's in public is 99% wrong. Yeah. Right? You know, so it's – I wouldn't make anything – of it at all. He's an above-average DC, but is Kevin Steele graded out significantly higher? Yes, he is. I think there's more stability and a higher ceiling with Kevin Steele than with Todd Grantham.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, come back with more. Going to ask, who does Notre Dame maybe turn to? OC, Miami turn to, DC, and a lot more. I'm going to even ask them about the Iowa offensive coordinator position, the rest of that coaching staff. All of that next. Day bar two, College Football Matrix on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week all year, it's all college football on Chuck Oliver Show. And boy, hour one on a Tuesday checks that box. Talking with College Football Matrix. That's him on Twitter, at CFB Matrix. It is Dave Bartu. He says he is an analytics consultant to coaches, ADs, football ops folks, agents, all of that stuff. If there is person movement, human beings going from one place to another in college football, Dave can kind of help you with what it is likely to turn out, what a predictive model is. Let's talk about Marcus Freeman. He's got to hire the trickle down now. He's got to hire an offensive coordinator. You said 15 to 20 guys may be contacted on some level. Any horse out front for you?
Now, let's see here. Let's throw some darts at guys you're not going to hear. Right, because and I guess we're assuming. Do you think he's going to want to stay conservative, ground and pound, run the clock down, or more of a pass game? I'm not sure on that. So, but let me give you three guys off the top of my head that I'd like to see him interview. I think one of them obviously is Paul Christ. Former Wisconsin head coach. You look at his running game though as an offensive coordinator. Absolutely outstanding. Everywhere he's been, the running game has been extraordinary. So I think Paul Chris, if he wants to go slower, David Shaw kind of Stanford thing, a lot more game control, 60-40 run to pass, I think that's your guy right there. You want a little bit more hybrid, a guy that grades out really close to Tommy Rees. I think you're looking at Tim Kramsey at Memphis. Tim is one of 13 guys that has a top 40 scoring efficiency each of the last 3 years. One of the other 13, Tommy Rees. So wax on, wax off with that one. But let me give you one to really chew on. Okay, this mm-hmm. one ain't nobody's going to mention it. This guy is absolutely outstanding at calling plays. Greg Roman. He is wicked good. He was awesome at Stanford. He has three different NFL franchises over the last 10 years. His progression in the first year is amazing. His scoring efficiency is top five of all offensive coordinators in the NFL since 2000.
I associate him with the NFL 50 times more.
I know you do, but look, he was, and maybe he doesn't want to come back to college, right? But he was, why do you think Jim Harbaugh was awesome at Stanford? Greg Roman was there. Greg Roman had an NFL runner-up in Kaepernick. He made Lamar Jackson an MVP. This guy is, and I know it's a wild card. That's why we're talking about it, right? It's not likely. But if Marcus Freeman reached out and pulled in Greg Roman and said, look, you don't have to recruit, just call plays. This guy is an absolutely professional level football play caller across the board.
Dude's unemployed, so maybe.
And he's 50. Yep.
All right. What's Mario do on defense? Because I'll say, at least when Manning was there, they had a pulse on that side of the ball.
Yes, and Manny is solid, and Kevin Kevin did a pretty good job last year with Miami. I don't think this one is going to be as hard to fill for him. I think there's a lot of really good defensive coordinators available out there. All these ADs have gone offensive coordinators so much to an extreme, it's left a lot of really good defensive coordinators out there. There's probably a good half dozen guys that are that on paper I'd consider equal or as good to Kevin Steele to be able to bring in. So I don't think that's going to be a tough one for him.
All right. I started the show with this, and the preface was, folks, anytime we start a show in February with Iowa football, it's not good. Kurt Ferentz announced, I think it was Friday maybe, no changes, but we have details coming. Details came out yesterday. I'm sure you saw them. His son, who, by the way, he's not in charge of. The AD's the boss. His son takes a $50,000 pay cut. If the team averages 25 points a game, he gets a $112,000 bonus and another year added. Come on, Dave. Like, the rules today and the pace of play, they give you 25 points, don't they?
Okay, let's try to paint a picture of what Iowa's doing relative to the rest of college football. Okay? If you look at Iowa's scoring efficiency this year, 2020, and 2021, and you add those together, okay, there are only 20 teams in the entire FBS worse than Iowa in the last 2 years in offensive scoring efficiency. 20. And of those 20, only in the Power Five, only Vanderbilt still has their offensive coordinator. Of those 20, only about worse than Iowa.
That's hard.
19 out of 20, they got a different offensive coordinator. They are only Vanderbilt's trotting a guy out there for year three. Iowa and Vanderbilt are that's the only comparison I can give you in terms of how hard Iowa is reaching here. Is every 95% of the teams that are worse than them have made a change.
Because
Iowa and Vanderbilt are running it back out.
Because they realize, I mean, this is checkers. It ain't chess, man. Like, points are kind of available.
Oh, points are available. And on top of that, you have a top – a lot of people probably don't realize this, you know, but Phil Parker at Iowa, top three defensive coordinator in all of college football. The guy is nothing short of wicked good. And he put up a top five defense again last year. Top five. You know who else was in the top five? It's called playoff teams. Georgia and Michigan. You're just wasting years. I mean, Iowa fans just got to be just pulling their hair out because you got one of the best defensive coaches in all of college football for the last decade. And you're just running an offense back out there that has been bottom 20 in the last 2 years. You're running it back out there again. What a waste of opportunity, in my opinion.
All right. Dave has told all of us, and I believe him after a couple of drafts now, he will take the Pepsi challenge with anybody evaluating quarterbacks leaving college, going in the NFL. Dave, you got about 60 seconds, so you can run with us a little bit, but did you have an opinion about Brock Purdy? Because until the Eagles pass rush just jumped all over him the other day, he had been undefeated, and he did not look like a seventh-round pick.
Yeah, you're just letting me strut on your show on that one. Probably the only guy in the world that had Purdy in the top three last year. And I know I said it on your show when we were doing the draft back in April, but we've done so many shows, it gets lost in the wash.
If you said Brock Purdy, I probably just said, yeah, okay, Dave, very nice, and just kept going. Patted you on the head.
My podcast from April 28th is still up, and I quote, the diamond in the rough of the draft. Pre-draft, the diamond of the rough in the draft. He checks all the boxes of a long-term NFL starter, as good as anybody in this draft. He should be one of the top three. And the other two that were with him checking boxes, Ridder out of Cincinnati and Pickett out of Pittsburgh. But Purdy, he was basically my number two guy. And the number two guy usually turns out pretty good in my numbers. That's Dak Prescott. That's Tom Brady. That is Lamar Jackson. Those are all number two guys. Purdy, no surprise to me at all. He checked all the boxes as a long-term NFL starter.
There are worse folks to have the same opinion about a quarterback than Kyle Shanahan. So he believed the same thing. They used a draft pick. Any draft pick has value. Dave, appreciate you, brother. Do it again in seven more days.
Take it easy, Chuck. Thank you.
Dave Bartu. He is college football matrix. Always appreciate him coming on. Wraps up hour one on this Tuesday break. Back with hour two next.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation, like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.